arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those of Thessalonica. They received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. All right. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message from Don Thalman through God's eyes.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. The opening hymn, Let There Be Peace on Earth, that's a beautiful song, and we had said that we're going to be singing that quite frequently as long as there's so much war and destruction in the world. But especially today, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me. That really is the overriding message for today, so keep that in mind as we go. Last week, we started a two-part series called Truth and Perceptions, or Perspectives. The perceptions and perspectives we're going to use somewhat interchangeably here. They're just different levels of the same train. And we talked about how the world is telling us that our opinions, formed by our perceptions and on things, are actually our own truths. We talked how you can't have competing truths that are opposite one another. But that because we're told this is our truth, that people tend to dig in their heels. They're right, this is truth, causing more conflict and less love and less peace on earth. We finished the message last week with this picture, if you want to show, pop that up. If you can see it, a matter of perspective. Two people arguing, one saying it's a 6, the other saying it's a 9. I asked y'all, who's right? Who's right in this argument? Has anybody ever witnessed that themselves or maybe watched others get in that type of argument where they're just not willing to back down? That's not peace. That's not love. I told you last week we'd be wrapping up the series this week by talking about perception and perspectives and how better understanding how we get these perspectives and can help us fulfill Jesus' command of us to love God and love people. If we have a better understanding of what's happening, then maybe we can do a better job of letting the peace on earth begin with us, of loving God and loving people in a better way. Now, I want to make sure everyone is prepared for an exercise we're going to have at the end of the message today. Does everyone in the sanctuary have one of the pictures that were at the communion table? If not, raise your hand and we'll have them passed out to you. We'll run around and pass them out. So keep your hand up until you get it. Those at home, don't worry, it will also be on the screen. But if you can find just a blank white sheet of paper for this exercise at the end, just have that ready to go, and I'll let them continue to pass it out while I move forward with the message. First, we're going to talk about perceptions. How do we form them, and what do they do? Well, our perception on how we see things in lives and in the world is a lot more powerful and has a lot more impact on us than probably what most of us realize. If we see the world as existing to bring us pleasure and happiness, and when it doesn't happen, what is our reaction? We get angry, we're frustrated, right? The world didn't live up to our expectations. So we ask, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. I deserve this. I deserve better than this. The world owes me this. And does that bring joy to your heart to have that focus? No, it doesn't. On the opposite side, if we see ourselves as not having value, we're not being lovable, and someone does something kind to us, we tend to reject it because for some reason we feel we're not worthy of love or kindness. And again, that drives us further away from where we want to be. Less extreme case, if we see our community as a place that exists to serve us, and then we're impatient because we're sitting at a traffic light or in a traffic jam, or you're stuck and it takes you an extra 15 minutes to get home because of the traffic backup, and just because a car flipped over, maybe the person died. Are we worried about that, or are we worried about 15 minutes? Or maybe we're in a stalled line at Starbucks waiting for our daily venti salted caramel cream cold brew macchiato frappuccino with soy, hold the whipped cream. If they take too long, I can't even say it fast. I did okay that time. If we see God as a gentle, almost grandfather type figure passing out nice presents to us, and something doesn't go right in our lives, what do? Is God mad at me? Did I do something wrong? Why would he let this happen? What's going on? Did he leave me alone? Our perception, whether true or not, will impact our belief and our behaviors, and therefore all of our relationships. How we perceive things causes us to view things differently from one person to another. Let's look at the 6 or 9 picture again. So to understand some of the things that impact us, how we perceive things will help us understand why we react the way we do, and maybe even be a bit more understanding when we perceive something differently than somebody else. Do we have the picture up? Okay. Like with this picture, if we understand why someone else is perceiving something differently than we do, whether we agree or not, it can help us to find more joy and treat people with love. It helps us do a better job of loving God and loving people. So I'll talk about 3 of the main things that help us form our perceptions, which then become our beliefs and then drive our behaviors. There are plenty more, but I just want to touch on 3 of them. One is our personalities. One is our life experiences. And finally, and I'll just call it, the forces out there that are eager to have us see things the way they want us to see them. All right, let's start out first with personalities. Just one example of how personality can make a big difference. Let's talk about being generally optimistic versus generally pessimistic. Now, there's going to be overlaps here, but we're going to keep them separate just for the sake of simplicity here. This first one is an example I'm sure everyone's been familiar with. If you want to pop up the picture of the glass, the optimistic sees this and says, wow, I've got all this water. Pessimistic says, it's not even worth bothering. It's only half full. Right? If one's excited about the water they're getting and one's frustrated that it's not full, does that permeate the joy in their heart? Does that help perpetuate joy, or does it take it away? How about these? 2 salesmen, shoe salesmen, are sent to a rural town in Africa. First one shows up. He calls back home, I'm coming home. No one wears shoes here. Second one calls up, says, send me all the shoes you've got. No one has shoes here. How do you see it? How do you view it? When the Israelite soldiers saw Goliath, they said, he's too big, we can't kill him. When David saw Goliath, he said, he's so big, I can't miss. All kinds of things happen in life. The uncertainties, the challenges, all kinds of things to make life difficult. The way our personalities impact our perceptions of things, events and such, can make an immense positive difference or an immense negative difference, all based on how we see it, how we believe. Or as it stated so very clearly in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and this is one of my favorite passages. This is half of it. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So problems are a normal part of life. But as Pastor Chuck Swindoll, who does the Insight for Living segments on Z88, he stated in one of his sessions, we're all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. If we see things with an optimistic perspective, we're more apt to view them as what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, which is excellent, what is praiseworthy, and more likely to find great opportunity in the tough parts of our lives, in the rough situations. We'll find out that loving God and loving people isn't as difficult as we thought it was. Now, on to the second thing that can impact our perceptions and perspectives is life experiences. As we go through life and add new experiences to our personal histories, our perceptions tend to change, right? There was a time when we may have thought that the best thing in the world was riding your bike over ramps and down the streets of the neighborhood, or at Easter time eating those marshmallow peeps, or, you know, a time when you thought that everyone over 50 was really, really old. Well, sure, things do change over time, but a lot of it is our perspective changes over time because of our life experiences. Do I still think that riding a bike over the bump in the sidewalk that was created when the tree root grew up, use that as a ramp all the time? Do I still think that's the best thing to do in the world? No. That bump in the sidewalk might still be there. The bike is still a bike. I don't know, my bike still might be in my mom's garage. Who knows? That's not what's important to me now. And I'm sorry, those little peeps. I don't know what I was thinking. No thanks. Now, when we're talking about people over 50, I'm over 50 now, and I feel it, so maybe that might be partially true. It might not be the best example to use, because I feel really, really old sometimes. But you get the point. For the most part, our life experiences cause us to see things differently, and they help refine how we perceive things, which is impacting our beliefs and behaviors. I don't mean for this to be a study in psychology or human development or anything like that, but to go back to what we talked about, absolute truth, and how we need to work harder, to work together, to love God and love people, and let the peace on earth begin with us. We've got to understand this, at least that it's out there. So please just hang with me. If I can try to pull this section together when we're talking about how life experiences make an impact on who you are, what you think, and the future that you see, our life experiences that impact our perceptions and therefore beliefs, they are related, and I've got a couple examples for you right here today. Anyone notice my outfit today? Yes, your pastor's up here in blue jeans, t-shirt. Bother anybody? It does. Honestly, I'm not usually a huge fan of it. Many of you have life experiences that say a pastor should be well-dressed when they're up there preaching. So now there's this new life experience between you and I that's not all positive. I felt short of your beliefs And, of course, you know your belief to be true, right? So now there's this negative life experience that goes into your bank of life experiences that will impact the way you interpret me in the future. When we cross paths again in the future, maybe there might come a time where something happens, and so maybe there's a little less respect that you have for me in this conversation, and you don't know why, but it stems from this belief being offended on this particular day. That's how perceptions are built. That's how we understand, and that's how our behaviors are driven, is by our beliefs that are driven by our perspectives. It can happen. Does that make sense? I don't want to lose people, but just know that that's where we're going here. Another example. Anyone notice we still have Easter banners up? And you thought, why in the world haven't they been taken down yet? I mean, what is going on here, right? Well, if you're thinking that, you probably have in your life experiences. You've seen that after Easter, all the Easter decorations are taken down. And you know that Easter was a few weeks ago. So it's only right and proper for these to be gone by now. And that makes sense, right? And it's your truth. It's true, so that's where we're at. Well, I say maybe it's true. But what if I have experience or some really neat ceremonies on the day of Ascension, the Ascension of Christ? So now I'm focused on the fact that 40 days after Easter, Jesus was still walking around the earth preaching and visiting and healing. And so all these people that saw him, they knew he was crucified. Some of them saw him crucified, and now they see him walking around, and they're looking at each other and saying, "He's risen." And she's saying, "Yes, he has indeed." This is still good. Why would we take it down? The day of Ascension isn't until next Thursday. That's the belief I'm coming from. But did you know that? If you don't know my perspective on why something's happening, you might have a negative life experience about this, about what's going on here, this situation. Whether you agree with what I just said or not doesn't matter as much as the fact that now you understand, and so it doesn't have to be a negative life experience that can have a negative impact on what happens between us in the future. Understanding other people's point of view on why they might see things differently is important. It helps us to better love God, love people, doesn't it? If you're frustrated because someone's not doing something you think they should, and you don't know why they're not doing it, ask them. They say, "I don't feel like it." Okay, now it's okay to be frustrated. But they might have a reason that right, wrong, or indifferent might make sense. And then at least there's not this frustration. There's not this anger. It's easier to continue to love God and love people. So, by the way, Gina, Brody, and I got up early this morning, and we went out to Barnett Park, and we hung posters of all the seniors on Isabel's track team. There's 21 of them. We hung all of these posters in the pavilion out in Barnett Park because they've got a track party today. And so, being the fact that we couldn't get in there till 8 o'clock, I need to be preaching here by 9:30, I didn't think it was too smart to go out there in my slacks and my nice shirt. And I know that volunteering to the community youth is important to this church, and this church is a sort of a come-as-you-are kind of thing, so everyone will be fine with it. That's my perspective on my dress today. If we focus on the truth of our own perceptions instead of the reasons why they might be different than others, we're not going to be loving God and loving people. will be in the judgment mode. It's hard, I know. But focusing on love first will help us in our lives. It makes our lives so much more enjoyable. It really does. So, okay, so first we talked about how our personality can impact how we perceive events and things. For instance, the pessimism versus optimism. Then we discussed how our life experiences impact our perceptions and can alter our behaviors in the future. Now let's look at the powers that work to control how you and I view things in order to get you to believe what they want you to believe. Boy, we could spend all day talking about this one. I mean, advertisers, political parties, and groups, and media, it's virtually throughout our entire culture. And here's the thing, it's not just dark forces and dark spiritual forces that do this. Time for confession from Mr. Don up here. I'll admit, when we have people coming into the pumpkin patch at 7:29 p.m., it's dark, and they know we close at 7:30. I've already put in, 12-hour days or whatever. I want them to get a pumpkin, and I want them to, but I want them to decide quickly. I want them to come in, grab a pumpkin, and be done. So there's been times, and those that work the patch with me, I'm sure have heard this, and Garnett's going to be chuckling. We've talked about it before. But I might say something like this. Sure, come in, look around, take your time, enjoy. But just so you know, this is a time of night where the mosquitoes just swarm you. So I'd cover up that baby, because you don't want him to go home all bitten up, eaten up. Now, after hearing me say that, and it might be true, it might not. I mean, we know they're going to come out, right? Because they always do eventually up there. But it might not be a bad evening for it. But because I said that to them and I planted that seed, and if they suddenly hear one or two mosquitoes buzzing around their head, what do they think? Oh my gosh, we're going to be eaten alive. We got to get out of here. Don can go home and have dinner. Sorry, Lord. I might have been a little guilty of manipulation there. Just a little. But trying to convince people to believe something that may or may not be true for my benefit. I mean, advertisers are notorious for this, aren't they? I mean, isn't that what advertising is? Getting people to believe something that may or may not be true so that you'll do what they want, you'll buy their product. That's our culture at this point. And we could go on and on into different groups that want to control your perceptions, but instead I just want to let you know and help you understand that they do want to control your perception and your behaviors. They can do that, and frequently they do have an impact on your perceptions. I mean, we could talk all day about what they do to, like, the teenage girl market, making them feel like they're less than and not lovable unless they buy all this stuff. That's one of the top attacked markets in our society, and it's awful. But stepping aside, I just want to show you that it can be done. So let's pop up the picture of the old lady, young lady. Many of you might have seen this picture before. Here's the thing. How many people can see an old lady in the picture? How many people can see the young lady in the picture? Yeah. See, Laura Harshman's out here. She probably knows what's going on. She raised her hand for the young lady because typically young people see the young lady, older people see the old lady. But that's true. That's typically true. Older people will see the old lady first, and they'll have to look for the young lady. Younger folks tend to see the young lady first. And the powers that be know this. Here's what I'll say now. If before showing you this picture, I said, okay, people on this half, I want you to think about a time when you were young and you walked into your grandma's kitchen and you smelled whatever she was baking, your favorite dish. What was it? And then to this group, I say, I want you to tell me about your favorite picture of your mother when she was young. And guess what? Almost everybody on this side, if after I show them the picture, will see the old person first, because I planted a seed that I wanted them to view something the way I wanted them to view it. You guys would see the young woman first, because I planted a seed in your mind that would then have you interpret and perceive this picture the way I wanted you to. Does that make sense? Can your mind really do that to you? Now, here's a fun test for you. Go ahead and put up the black and white picture. And again, at home, make sure you've got a picture close to home. All of you have a picture, the copy there. Can you turn the house lights up? No, house lights all the way up? All the lights on? Woo, wake up. So you all got a picture, a paper picture. Instead of trying to see the one up here in-house, what I'd like you to do is when I tell you, I want you to stare at the green dot on the lady's nose until I tell you to stop. Now, when I tell you to stop, I want you to flip the paper over, look at the white sheet, and blink your eyes while you look at the white sheet. Okay? Are you ready for this? All right. When I say now, then start staring. Ready, set, go. Those at home, you can do it with the TV screen. Stare at the green dot on the nose. Now, when I say now, flip the sheet over and blink and look at the white sheet. Ready? Now. What do you see? You see the girl. You see the color of her hair. You see the color of her blouse in full color. How's that possible? Guess what? Marketers out there know how it's possible. People know how to use the science to get you to think and see what they want you to think and see. Okay. Can your mind delete something? You can go ahead and take the picture down now. Can your mind delete something that your eyes see? Just block it out, because it's there all the time, so your mind just blocks out. Is that possible? There's something to be literally right in front of you all the time and you not even see it? I'm going to show you a quick sample, and you can do it on your own if you want. Looking straight ahead, I can see my fingers. I can still see them. I can still see them. I can still see them. I can still see my fingertips right now. I can't see my nose. Which is sticking out further? My nose or my fingers? How come I can't see my nose? The only time you can see your nose is if you try to do this cross-eyed thing. Then you can hardly see it, right? If I can see my fingers now, then my nose is always inside of my eyes. Always. How come I don't see it? The mind says, it's probably irrelevant. We're going to block it out. Don't need to see it. Try it if you're not sure. People out there, organizations out there understand this. And they use all of these neat things that are kind of fun for us to do here, but they use it to try to get you to believe and behave in such a way that they want you to. And I'm not saying the way they want you to is good, bad, or ugly. I'm just saying just know that it's happening. And that's what they're supposed to be doing, right? But you need to be mindful of it. They're getting you to believe things that may or may not be true. I don't believe that everybody has their own personal truth. I believe that there's one absolute truth. All right. Pop the 6 or 9 picture back up. So, what do we do now that we better understand why someone may look at the same thing we're looking at but believe something different? I mean, I hope at this point I've been able to share enough things to you why you can see someone can look at the same thing, but based on the life experiences, maybe if they were optimistic or more pessimistic when things happen. Maybe that's why they see things differently, not because they're a bad person. So now that we understand that, what is there something we should do differently? Maybe we can tell them they're wrong. Maybe you could tell them they should stop thinking that way and believe what you believe. I mean, it's clearly a 9. I can see it. It's a 9. Or on the other hand, we could start by trying to understand their perception of the event or situation. One of the problems as we've moved through our society, as time's gone by, as we've developed our own truths, if we have our own truth and we're right and they're wrong and we know that before we get started, why should we leave our shoes behind and walk to the other side and step in their shoes to see what they're looking at? Because we're right, we don't need to. If we approach situations with grace, if we approach situations with love and peace in our hearts, it doesn't matter what we think we're right or not. Step out of the shoes, walk around, and see what they're looking at. It's the only way to love God and love people. You can't be loving people if you're always thinking you're the one that's right. Another great reason that we should look at other people's perspective is because maybe we aren't right. Maybe they're right. In Acts 17, the scripture read a moment ago, Luke contrasted two groups of people, two different towns of Jews, one in Berea and the other in Thessalonica. Ooh, got it. I've got no reason to think that either one were bad people. But when Paul went to Thessalonica and started talking to them, they're like, this isn't the scripture we know. And so instead of trying to understand, they chased him out of town. Even chased him when they went to other towns. But the people in Berea, Paul called them, they're more noble. Because they heard something that was different, and they said, okay, wait a second here. I'm willing to listen, though. So they walked around, and they listened to him, and then they did their research, they looked up the scripture, and said, you know what? This matches up with the scriptures that we've been telling our kids for generations. So many of them became believers. And Paul said, because they're willing to step out of their shoes and into my shoes and see what my perspective is and perception is and what I'm talking about here compared to what they know, they're a more noble people. And a side note, when we do decide to listen to someone else and their perception on our differences, make sure you listen. It's really easy that instead of listening to what they're saying, trying to learn their perspective on where they're at, it's really easy for us instead to just be waiting for them to pause and take a breath, because boy, I've got a zinger I'm going to nail them with. So I'm just waiting to give them comments and feedback on why they're wrong instead of listening to them. That's not showing them love. When we hear something that differs from our opinion, we might say something like, well, I disagree. Hopefully we would be that polite. But we need to learn to say, well, help me understand why you think that. I'm willing to listen. But help me understand. This is more like loving God and loving people. The third reason why we need to put ourselves in other people's shoes so we can see their perspective is because we're told to love our neighbor as ourselves. And isn't that how you want to be treated? Man, if they would only listen to me and hear my point of view, then they would better understand why they're wrong and I'm right. And yet you're not doing that with them. Let's treat our neighbor the way we want to be treated, as it says in Matthew 7, verse 12. It doesn't even mean that you can't change their minds. You can't try to change their minds. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with them when you're done. Listen to them. I mean, maybe they've got some valid points you need to consider. Ultimately, regardless of the reason for the arguments, it might be a cultural issue, it might be a political issue, like which party or candidate you should support. It might be a religious issue, like what's the best worship music? Or what should a pastor wear? It could be a big issue, it could be a small issue, doesn't matter. The real question is, do you understand the other person's perspective? Do you understand why there's a difference of opinion? Have you even tried to understand why there's a difference here between the two of you? Okay, want to pop the 6 or 9 pickup again for me? See, folks, here's the thing. Much of the time, who is the only person that knows who's right between these two? And we can understand why they're both digging their heels in saying they're right, don't we? I mean, we understand that. Who knows which one's right? Well, whoever wrote the 6 or 9, they're the only ones that truly know which one of these folks are right. There's no way for them themselves to know which is right unless they were the ones that wrote it. The author is the only one, many times, that know who's correct. And that's why Jesus didn't tell us that we had to be right. He told us we have to love God and love people. And if our goal is to be right, sometimes it goes against loving God and loving people. Amen? Thank you.